Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, we're back in town. What?
You're right.
I'm really good.
Good.
Yeah, we're kind of back together.
Yeah.
Are we in a bubble?
We're a bubble. Yeah.
We are. We're a family bubble.
Family.
The mum and mama bubble.
Yes.
Oh, that's cute, isn't it?
It's weird, actually, because we've not done this for a while, have we?
What,
wait?
No,
but like being with each other talking, because it's been over Zoom, hasn't it?
Yeah,
with all the really lovely delays and stuff when I'm trying to put the podcast together.
But so anyway,
happy Father's Day.
And really, we've had we've had a really good chap on, haven't we?
We have had a really good chap on.
Now I'm gonna confess, when I saw his name, I thought, fuck my life, I am never going to be able to pronounce that. But actually, now his name kind of rolls off the tongue.
It does, doesn't it?
No, it's second name, though. So, Tiernan.
Dweeb. Well, he tells us all about it, doesn't he?
Dweeb.
Yes.
Yeah, he was really funny.
He was really funny. He's a comedian, so that's a good bloody job. He's funny,
yeah,
really,
so
isn't it?
He is a comedian. But he's also, he does lots of children's comedy.
He does.
And lots of adult comedy.
Yes.
And political comedy.
Yes, he does everything.
Do you know what I mean?
No, he's great.
And he's clever.
Yeah.
He's a clever buddy. He's not like us, hey?
No.
No, not like us. His podcast is quite, you know, it's full of little, you know, nuggets of knowledge.
Yeah.
Ours are just nuggets of nuggets.
Yeah.
Nougat.
Chicken
nuggets. Exactly.
But yeah.
It is a really good one.
It is a really good one. Yeah. Happy Father's Day. And we thought we should get a fella on.
Definitely.
Really, you know.
Yeah. Is he our first fella?
He is our first fella,
he's definitely,
isn't he?
Not your first fella, though, is he, Amy? Yeah? He's not your first fella this month. Sorry, Babs, if you're listening.
Yeah, no, it's our first dad.
Our first dad. And also, it has been my birthday this week.
It has been your birthday this week.
Yeah, I've had a birthday for over a week.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Thank you, darling. Thank you, Mama.
Your mama. It was first lockdown birthday, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's just amazing.
It was
all
good,
really,
though.
Nice kind of situation to be in.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had so many cards. I've never had so many presents.
Aww.
I've never had so many bunches of flowers.
Aww.
And it was amazing. Thank you. Our videos.
Which were
great. Thank you very much, everybody.
It was lovely. You're very welcome. Happy birthday.
Yeah, so we hope you listen, like, subscribe.
Yes.
And just, you know, give us a little thumbs up. Give us a little like.
Give us a little like.
Yeah.
Little subscribe. Share.
Yeah, share us.
Share us
with your friends and family.
Yeah.
Share us all. We're, Amy loves to be shared around.
I do. Well, sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring, especially in this really hard time.
Yeah.
Yes. So enjoy.
Enjoy.
Work.
Right then.
So, first of all, how do you say your fucking name?
Yeah.
It's an important question. Tiernan. First name's Tiernan.
Tiernan.
That's easy. Yeah.
Is it Irish?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's mainly because I had hippie parents.
Me too. Me too. Smoked
is that really?
A lot of dope, my mother does. She's going to kill me.
Yeah, my parents did too. Yeah, they did, I'm going to say. I'll say yeah. Yeah. But that's it. My parents called Liz and Brian, and so me and my brother got weird names. They were like, well, you've got to have weird names. So
What's your brother called?
He's called Corin.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, that is nice.
My mum wanted to call my sister Belle Star. I know. Wow. She got away lightly with Lauren Bell in the end.
Belle Star. It sounds like a sort of like a brand, like a washing up powder or something.
Yeah. Or like a country and western like star. Belle Star.
Oh, dear.
Oh, I know. And then we just got Amy Bullman.
I am so Bullman. English and boring. It's unbelievable. So you were telling us, before we started recording, you were telling us about your surname. So start again.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I just got told off by my cousin recently, because I say my surname is Duyeb, but my cousin told me I've been saying it completely wrong.
Oh.
So all this time, so there you go. So apparently it's more like Dahweeb or I don't know. See, that's why when I was at school, everyone used to say Dweeb. So I was like, well, it's definitely not Dweeb, it's Duyeb. So I changed it for like out of self-defense. And now I'm being told I should have just, you know, dealt with all the Dweeb comments years ago. So who knew?
So that's French then.
So that's French, yes.
Yeah, well, we think so. It's sort of weird that my granddad was French and from Paris, but there's like a few Duyebs in Paris, and there's some mad Duyebs in Paris. There's some that were like Scientologists and kidnapped their cousin or something. It was all in the papers, Duyebs, which is a bit embarrassing, isn't it? And then there's loads of Duyebs in North Africa as well. So we think his like grandparents might have been from Morocco. We're trying to trace it, and it's really hard because... it's from years ago and they didn't log everything.
That's amazing though. I'd love to have an exciting family story.
Yeah, yours are just from Basildon, aren't they, love?
Well, going through like classic
East London. Moved out to Basildon, yeah. But yeah, we're just East London.
She likes to say East London because it sounds like, you know, cool. It's like the craze. It's like East London.
But that's...
Really, it's just Essex.
Yeah, but then they all emigrated, didn't they? Because all the East Londoners just went, we're gonna move out to Essex to our bigger homes. And...
Yep, that's exactly what happened. My mum and dad moved out of their flat in Bethnal Green and bought a house in Romford for £6,000. That was 50 years ago. £6,000.
Jeez,
damn. I'd move to Romford for £6,000.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, I would. For £6,000, I would.
I wouldn't. And now they've gone to the very posh Epping, haven't they?
Yes, they have, yeah.
Nice.
Romford, Basildon, Epping. So they're kind of coming back a bit.
Yeah. That's sort of an upward scale, I think.
Definitely.
They sold their beautiful 4-bedroom house with a massive garden, and it had a courtyard in the middle of it. Our house in Basildon. It was really nice. Wow. In Costa del Vange. And they sold that house.
Many jokes about Amy's Vange.
Shut up.
So many.
The house that they sold, they had to pay more for their 2-bedroom flat in Epping.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. But that's completely London, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
So,
Tiernan, you are a bit of a you're like so we've had Saskia on. She's a bit of a celeb, but you're like next level celeb, aren't you?
That's not fair to Saskia, because I'm only like a Z level, maybe Y. I'd say she was higher than that.
Okay. So, but you've got a lot on, like when I was doing a bit of background research, you've got a lot going on, young man.
Well, I did until the pandemic hit. The pandemic kind of killed comedy off quite quickly, because apparently it's not good to be in a room with strangers, a windowless dark room with strangers during this pandemic. Who knew? Who knew that would be bad for it?
But, I know. And you're very much kid based comedy, aren't you?
Well, no, I do. So I do both. Okay. I do two types of. I do stand up for grown ups, proper stand up.
Yeah.
Which is all generally my stand up for grown ups is shouty and political and angry, okay, and miserable. And then I do stand up for kids, which is all, isn't the world great and brilliant? And it sort, yeah, of balances me out head wise. Okay. Because I get to tell kids it's great and adults it's terrible.
It's shit.
And it sort of, yeah, it sort of works. Yeah.
I know. And kids are, I think kids are a little bit harder sometimes.
Yeah,
aren't
I'd
they?
Say that.
Are they? Or
do you
not?
Think? I don't know, but it depends on what you mean. Because I think, like, from a parent point of view, yeah. I mean, like, my daughter doesn't find me amusing at all. But but from, like, a performer point of view, like, if you got to perform to a room of adults who are like, yeah, make me laugh, and they cross their arms and they're often, like, really pissed and,
yeah,
on a stag do or whatever, that's tough.
Yeah.
Whereas kids are like, it's a show!
It's
and
a
they're
show.
Excited and, yeah, they sit, yeah, in the, yeah, front row and they want to tell you what's in their brain. They don't want to heckle maliciously.
No.
They just want to go, I thought this up, have it. And that's a different level of...
Yeah,
dealing with a tricky crowd, you know, but it's great.
I, yeah, went, I took my son to a comedy club because my son thinks he's all that in a bag of chips. He thinks he's absolutely hilarious, right? He makes up jokes and then he makes you laugh at them. And when they're not funny, I'm like, oh, we've done the 100th one and it's still not funny. But I took him to a comedy club in Greenwich and it was, honestly, it was brilliant. But he got picked to go on stage. Now, my son has got... Of course he did, because he's a bit like his mother. But he's got some really funny jokes, like hilarious jokes. He stood up, he got stage fright. And I can't even remember what joke... I know, I can't even remember what joke he told, but it was the worst joke. It wasn't even a joke, right? And I was like... Oh my God, how could you have let the family name down? But everybody still laughed at him.
Tough. Was it up the creek? Was the gig
that's
up the creek? Was
that that's it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a tough... I mean, of all the gigs to do your first ever spot at, that's one that's been notorious for years for having, like, the worst hecklers and...
Yeah, it was... They thought he was hilarious. They literally... They were clapping and cheering and I was like, it wasn't fucking funny.
Oh, good, brilliant. Though. He went down well. That's great. Yeah, that's really good.
So how did you get into doing the comedy for kids?
Because there was a comedian that invented it called James Campbell, who basically just said it was that children like laughing. It's not fair, yeah, that they don't have stand-ups for them. And he doesn't do it anymore. He's now does lots of writing and other stuff. But he saw the stand-up material I was doing at the time, which was a lot happier because I was younger and clueless and enjoying life. And he was like, you should try gigging for kids because your stuff would really work. And it was the most terrifying gig I'd ever done, really. But it went down really well. Kids found it really funny. It was very silly.
Yeah.
And I just got really hooked on it as a... I don't know, like I said, it's sort of a nice balance to everything else that I do.
Yeah.
And genuinely, also, if you write a joke that makes the kids and their parents laugh, you're like, that's an amazing joke. Because,
yeah,
it's like all generations, yeah, just suddenly a whole room of people properly laughing at something is lovely. Yeah, it's really nice.
It's quite a nice atmosphere as well. Like you said, like you can grab a beer. Like I was like, what? You can have a beer. You can have a beer and watch kids' comedy. You can grab a beer. You can have a burger. You can sit down. It's all very casual. Like, it was the same atmosphere, but just with loads of kids. And I quite like that. I quite like that approach to it. It wasn't, yeah, like it was, like you were sat in an audience, you know, in a proper stage with seats and you got numbers. And it wasn't formal, which I think is really important for kids. And especially as parents, you know, we want to be able to laugh as well. And we want to be able to grab a beer and, you know, just kind of have some downtime. So I was really impressed with it. Definitely.
That's
loved
great.
It.
Yeah, it's the one that I co-run is called Comedy Club for Kids, and that's, yeah, our whole thing is if the parents don't laugh too, we've failed. Like the whole, it's got to be funny for them, and like loads of really good acts will do a gag that goes slightly over the kids' heads, but it's safe, but works for the parents, you know, because that's fine. It's got to be. We want it to be a little bit risky but safe,
yeah,
and I don't know. It's just lovely. It's such a fun atmosphere, and it's not patronising. I mean,
no.
I'm already. My daughter's only two and there's already so many kid shows I'm watching going, really? Jesus, this is patronising shit. You know,
yeah.
you just, when you get a show that's just like, I'm just going to talk to the kids like they're a person. It's such,
yeah,
a relief.
What kids' programmes do you like that your little girl watches and you enjoy watching?
Hey Dougie. Hey Dougie's amazing.
I've not seen that.
Do you know
that.
Hey Dougie?
I liked Hey Dougie. Yeah, Yeah, it's good. It's got great. A catchy theme tune as well.
Yeah, really catchy theme tune, and it's got like it's just got loads of gags that are like loads of nice little references. There's like one episode that's got like a reference to aliens in it and stuff. Yeah. So it's got loads of bits that the parents kind of get. But it's just very funny. It's got proper punchlines in. It's written really, really well.
Amy's got a couple that she... What do you like, again? What programme
SpongeBob,
like?
Classic.
Oh, yeah, nice.
I mean, my
nice.
Kids are a bit older, but they watch The Adventures of... The Amazing World of Gumball. That's really good.
Oh, yeah, that's brilliant as well, yeah.
And Adventure Time. But
Adventure Time's amazing.
We actually watched Horrible Histories recently, and I'd never seen it, obviously, because I didn't have kids when it came out years ago. But I think that might be one of my favourite programmes ever. It's so funny. I absolutely love it. And the girls really like it as well. And it's really educational. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, it won like, you know, proper comedy awards. Like, sort of in the same category as loads of adult shows. And it still kept winning because people go, this is funnier. This is better. And, you know, and I think sometimes there's a thing of because you have to be kid friendly, it means that you're not going, like, I think sometimes you're having to work harder to really make it funny and clever, and so you end up with a really strong, really strong comedy show instead.
And I think, and it's the dressing up, isn't it, and being silly, slapstick. It's like kind of, it's real life acting, but comedy as well. Whereas lots of it, lots of comedy for kids is animated. So it's quite nice for kids to see that difference. You know, I did a bit of acting in my day. And I used to love that.
Yeah, I did.
But here we go. That's why I used to love doing the circuits because I'm from South Wales in Pembrokeshire. We just used to do all the castles. So we used to do it was brilliant. It was hilarious. And I would always play the crazy person or the mad person that like scared everybody when they came in. But it's a bit like that. It's just a fun thing to do, isn't it? Just to be silly with kids.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's really, I don't know, it's really cathartic. There's something just, like I said, like I get quite, not stressed with adult gigs, but I'm often changing and working on it and thinking what's going to work tonight and what's in the news and what's happening. Whereas with kids' gigs, I'm just going to talk about that it's been raining or that dogs are stupid or something. It's a total, you get to have a bit of a, I don't know, relaxing away. Your brain gets to be relaxed in a way that you don't normally get.
Or just talk about poo. Poo seems
that's it.
To be.
Always poo, always farts. I anyone that says poo jokes are cheaper is wrong. They're the best thing ever.
Where do you do your night or day? What time is it? What time are kids' comedy things?
They're in the afternoon. Right.
Yeah, in the afternoon. And so normally in the afternoons, and we did them, until recently, we did them everywhere. So we were about to do some shows at the South Bank Centre. And we had one at the Old Vic booked in, and we had quite a few in Liverpool and Manchester and Birmingham, all over the place. And so, but we've done some online ones. We've done three online ones. We're doing another online one on Father's Day on June 14th.
Oh, wait, but this is when this is coming out.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Yeah. Oh, right. So if you... Yeah. Hopefully people list this just before the show. But...
Well, we can share it before anyway. That's fine. We'll share
before.
All the links.
We can preview it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, well, so we'll do another one online. And that's been fun because actually you reach a lot of people that can't make the gigs and they've all sort of been talking to us on the Twitch stream or on the YouTube stream, and kids have been shouting us, "We're here, say hello to us, it's our birthday." And so you get to kind of interact, which is nice. But... it's not the same as having a live crowd, but clap emojis aren't as good as actual laughs or clapping, you know.
Have you been told about how it might or when it might kind of go back, or have just been told that it's just off limits, can't talk about it?
No one's really sure because it's sort of, I mean, it's you know, this thing is, you know, we keep being told everything will be sorted out in a few weeks, then it isn't. But I think a lot of theatres have closed... Like have closed down till next year, and so I think it's the same with comedy clubs and with you know, it's different for the adult gigs we have to do in clubs and pubs and whatever. A lot of the kids' gigs have to be in theatres because of safety. I think a lot of live comedy isn't going to happen now until next year, which is
that's really sad.
Yeah.
Well, it's also there's all us comedians going, what are we meant to do for a living for a year, which is going to be tricky. So
what are you? How are you coping?
Panicking.
Yeah.
God,
Amy.
I don't know.
Jesus. Straight in there.
Well,
love.
No, it's a good question. What? It's a good question. But, you know, I mean, because there's been like, so I'm, you know, I'm self-employed. There's been the self-employed support. Yeah. So there's been that. And there's been lots of grants. There's loads of grants that comedians have access to and performers have access to. But I mean, really, it's tricky. And I think there's a lot of online gigs that have started to happen and they're good, but they don't pay the same or they're not as regular.
Yeah.
So we're all having to work it out. I mean, the nice thing is because it's a creative industry, people are coming up with lots of ways to do it. But they're doing like some mad gigs. They're going to do some comedy clubs in like a car park. So people will drive in their cars and be in separate spaces.
I think that's great.
Couple space along.
Oh, wow.
And then have one act on the stage performing.
That's
great. So I don't
know
if that'll
really
become
a
thing.
Yeah,
that's
a good idea.
Like driving comedy, yeah.
Yeah, get one of them going. Get one of them going. We'll all go. We'll all put it out there. We'll get everybody on it. Definitely.
I like it. We just need a really big car park somewhere that's willing to have us in it.
Sure we can find one in North London somewhere.
So how did you get into comedy then? Like in the beginning?
I totally cheated. Yeah. Because like lots of people got really cool like stories, origin stories, whatever. I like that Harry's just wandered off with this question.
Oh, she does that a lot.
It's great. I like it. It sort of shows you how when the important question is like, no,
yeah,
not this one.
Okay.
I cheated because I did a comedy. I did drama at uni. I totally wasted a student loan on a drama degree.
We all did.
I haven't used a single bit of that degree since, apart from the stand-up comedy. I did a stand-up comedy course because it was like only one lesson a week and it was lit like a bit of a doss. And I did it once and went, oh, damn, this is the best thing I've ever done. And that was it. And I just got hooked and carried on doing it. And it took me about 4 or 5 years. I managed to go full-time with it. And
that's amazing.
Have you always been like a funny person, though?
Not, I don't know.
Because it's
possibly,
very different.
Yeah.
It's very different to be funny and be able to do stand-up. Like, I'm a funny person. Like, I'm fucking hilarious. But well, I don't know whether I could be able to write the material to do stand-up. It's just a different level of funny, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you got to. So, like, I'm not the funniest person in my friends group. I've definitely, a couple of my mates are much funnier than me.
Yeah.
But they will, you know, they're funny for our friends group. So it's like, you're writing material for a whole audience is different. You've got to make it kind of work for a bigger room, like outside of your circle. And so, yeah, there's a definite difference. There's always loads of people that kind of come up after you and go, oh, my mate's funny, you should do this. And you're like, I can see him, he's being sick in his own shoe. He shouldn't do this, you know. Like, this isn't for him. But, it's also like some people are like, when they start out, like they're brilliant at performing but terrible at writing, or they're brilliant at writing but terrible at performing. And it's having to bring it all together is one of the hardest things, I think.
Yeah. But you're a writer as well, aren't you? So I guess you've got that.
Yeah.
You've got that skill as well, because that's another thing that you've got to be good at.
Yeah, but that's all come from comedy. I've been doing comedy now, like, oh my God, like 16 years, 17
years.
Oh my
God.
And so I've done, all of that's helped me build my writing. And then through comedy, I got to write on certain things because people saw this writing I was doing my stand-up, and then that allowed me to write for Cup of TV, things or whatever. So, you have to use so many skills that luckily you're able to then use them for other things.
Yeah. And you've got a podcast as well, haven't you? Have you got like a political podcast, a party podcast? Politics one.
Yeah, partly political broadcast. That's good. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I've done my research.
That was brilliant. I liked it.
Show off.
Research is overrated. It's rubbish. You don't get as much good chat if you do research.
Do you know what I mean? Amy has
done.
It's
too sterile.
I have.
What do you know about Tiernan? What do you know? Come on, let me put it on the spot. What do you know? What do you really know?
Very funny, and he's got a little girl, and I followed him
That's
on
what
Twitter.
He told you. See, she doesn't done any. She's
I
honestly
have.
I mean,
terrible.
The follow on Twitter was enough, though. I'm happy with that. That's good.
Thanks. So tell us about, what's it called? Partly Political.
Partly Political Broadcast. Yeah. It's been going for like 4 years, and it is. So I do. My adult comedy is all. Really shouty stuff, basically. I was going to be I don't think it's happening now, but I was meant to be supporting Frankie Boyle from July through to October this year.
Oh, God!
I'm a massive fan, but I've supported him his main support for the last 5 years, and I wrote on his last TV show. And so most of my stuff is, I'm friendlier than him, but it's generally that level of angry about politics stuff.
Lovely.
So I do a weekly podcast where every week I go, what the fuck is going on? And then God. I interview people who are actually clever and can tell me about it. So
must be popping off in the last 3 months, your podcast, because there's a lot of shit going on right now.
Yeah, but you say last 3 months, like last, what, 5 years? Last 4 years? Time you think you're going to get a breather, it then kicks off again.
We've done Brexit for about 25 years,
oh,
I feel
God.
Like.
Yeah.
Oh, and God. It's going to go on for another 25. It's going to be all of our lives. Yeah.
God.
If the pandemic will last half of our lives, and then there'll be Brexit after that.
Definitely.
So how are you? So you mentioned that you've got a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
So how's that been during lockdown? Jesus
Christ. I feel like an amateur on this one because I've only got one kid and I'm not a single parent, so I'm cheating here. But
you've got a 2-year-old.
I feel like I'm a lazy dad. But Jesus, she hit 2 at the end of March, right? Just in time for lockdown.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and it has been. I mean, today has been endless screaming tantrums. Just, I don't like daddy. I don't like mummy.
Yeah.
I don't like dinner. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like pajamas. And it just, everything is a fit. Everything is her trying to escape us and run around and throw things on the floor.
God.
And we've had that every day for lockdown. And we're about to go completely bonkers.
And have you got any outside space?
No, we're in an upstairs flat. So we, our place looks like a bomb site and is, there's just crayons and stickers all over the walls. We're never getting our deposit back. We rent, so we're never getting our deposit back.
Never.
Never.
And at 2, they're like miniature dictators. They literally, and because you want like an easy life, you just give in. Like, okay, it's fine. Have it. You've had.
Well, ours has developed like. She's got like proper sass, and I don't know where it's coming from. So she's got a thing now where she waves her finger in the air and goes, "There'll be no pajamas and no bedtime and yes milk." And it'll be like, "What? Where's this come from?"
Brilliant. That is brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
We need a picture of Miss Sass. We need a little
picture. I will send you. Yeah. She did. She went viral on Twitter because there was a day she decided to eat Weetabix on the sofa in a summer dress with her sunglasses on, and she'd only talk to us if we did Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck voices. And so I put it on Twitter and it got like 5,000 retweets, and everyone's going, "This is lockdown done properly.
Yeah.
This is how you should do it."
Oh my God, bless her. Oh, she's going to be a star then. She's going to be like, you know.
She's got the diva attitude, yeah.
And most girls have, though.
Like, is she all right with not going out much? Is she coping with it, or is she protesting?
And she's protesting a bit. I mean, it's sort of weird. She doesn't, she doesn't really get time. Like, she still thinks things that happened a couple of weeks ago happened yesterday. Or, she hasn't realised how long it's been since she's seen her grandparents or her friends from playgroup. But she definitely misses them. That's hard because we can't really explain to her. She's got no idea what's going on. And she gets really annoyed because we've done walks. You know, we go for walks in the park and all that. And she doesn't understand why she's got to get out of people's way all the time.
Yes. No.
That's really tricky. And also, I mean, this is what I, you know, because Amy, it was you that said you're homeschooling, aren't you? Is that right?
Yes,
you're not sending kids back.
Are.
Yeah.
No,
but this whole thing of like, you know, they'll social distance at school. Now, my daughter touches and licks everything.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know how she'd be safe. She's a biohazard by herself.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yep.
That terrifies me.
And that's what they've opted to send back is the youngest, touchiest kids, and then before they go
the ones
off
that wipe their bogeys on everything.
Yes.
Exactly.
Or need help when they go to the toilet.
They wet themselves and poo themselves and have accidents.
And need lots of cuddles.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
It is complete madness.
Yeah.
We got
it's completely mad.
Because our kids go to the same school, and they sent a letter today explaining, because they're only actually taking in year 6 pupils. I think it's going to be in a couple of weeks. But they sent a picture of one of the classrooms and like all the It's one seat at a desk, and all the desks are kind of, I mean, I think there's only 10 kids in a class. They're all like spaced out. It's so depressing because normally they have like three tables that all the kids sit round. I mean, they're basically on top of each other. And they're going to go but from also, that.
How
to...
are they deciding who gets to turn up and who doesn't?
Well,
that's what I don't get.
I think a lot of kids aren't. A lot of people aren't sending their kids back. I mean, obviously they've been open for the key workers, but they've basically just asked who wants to send their kids back. And I suppose they'll have to just one kid will go in one day. You know, I think they'll separate it. I spoke to my friend today who's up in Newcastle, and his son is in year six. That he'll do one day a week. His day's Wednesday.
God.
Yeah. What's but the point?
That's
completely
point?
Mad, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. For 4 or 5 weeks, what on earth is the point?
And up it there...
Is, well, it's mad, but the thing is, I have to say, because I'm totally on your side, I wouldn't send my daughter back, but at the same time, the thought of one day of childcare right now is like the best thing anyway. Like, there's a little part of me going... I don't want to spread the virus, and I think it sounds dangerous, but if someone could just take her away for a day, I'd pay, like, I don't have any money at the moment, but I'd give them whatever, I'd give them my shoes, I'd have anything they like.
Yeah.
But it...
So are you going to be sending her to nursery at sort of August, September time when they've sort of planned to open again?
We don't know. We haven't registered her at a nursery, which we should have done 6 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
And so she's got a childcare and looks after her 2 days a week.
Yeah.
So we don't know. I don't know. We haven't worked it out at all yet. We're kind of hoping grandparents can step in at some point.
Yeah. So give a shout out to the grandparents. Grandparents, if you're listening, you need to step up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They need to be allowed. They need to get out of the vulnerable group and be allowed to look after her again.
Totally. Yeah, that'll end soon. So you're all right. They'll be out of that soon.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, it's weird. Like, we don't know what, like, I don't know how your kids finding you being around so much. Like, because my daughter's never had us around so much because my wife's self-employed. She's an actor and she's also does sort of copy typing and stuff because acting pays nothing. And, you know, so but I'm always gigging and traveling, and she's getting, we're always sort of taking it in turns. And now she's got our full attention the whole time. Aww. And I don't know what's going to happen when we finally get rid of her for a day.
I know what will happen to you. You will be popping bottles and absolutely getting the biggest hangover that you could get in your whole life. That's what you'll be doing. You won't care about your daughter.
That is true. But then we'll get her back and I'll be in a total mess. It'll
that's
be even worse than before.
That's all right. That's what I'm looking forward to. But not Amy, because Amy only drinks water from now on.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Don't you love?
Yes.
Don't you love?
Are you off? Yeah. Are you not on booze?
Off the booze. Yeah, off it.
Oh, that's good. Is that a lockdown decision or a pre-lockdown decision?
No, it's been nearly a year, actually. It's a year on the 22nd of this month.
So dull. Dull.
I'm a lightweight and I can't handle hangovers. And dealing with kids on your own and working and hangover, I can't do it. So I was just like, no, I've grown up.
I'm really pretty, but you know, like I'd given up booze for about a year. Well, not given up. I just hadn't really drank for about a year, and then the lockdown hit, and I was like, the only way through this is if I get some beers in. And so I've drank more in the last 3 or 4 weeks. I've drunk in about a year and a half.
I know,
which is mad.
But it's really bad because it gets to like 4 or 5 o'clock, and you're going, "Oh, I really want a gin and tonic," and you're like, "It's fucking 5 o'clock, you fucking nutter. It's 5 o'clock."
Like, but that would have been me.
Like, I've never wanted gin and tonic at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So it does, because you're in, aren't you? You're not doing anything. You're not going anywhere. You're just sat indoors with your children, feeding them shit. I mean, the 5 a day has gone out the window. Honestly, I count Ribena as one of them now. I've just given
basically
up.
It basically is, isn't it? It's got vitamins in it.
Given up. Given up with all of it.
It's fruit.
It's basically. But you're doing like the... like, Harry, are you doing the Joe Wick stuff as well? Or is that...
No.
Just Amy, are you doing
that? No, just crazy Amy. we're doing something. We're part of the same gym. So we have an 8 a.m. sort of... It's like the craziest inmate-style exercise boot camp you could ever, ever know. And this morning, word of a lie, it was like about 100 burpees, about 600 sit-ups, about 300 squats. And you're literally, by 9 o'clock, I work for Haringey Council, so I've got to log on and then go back to it. But you're absolutely sweating. It's horrific. But then she goes and does Joe Wicks after it, like a nutter.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want
it. Hardcore.
Yeah, it's hardcore.
That's hardcore.
I just want to get kids jumping. Yeah. If they jump around for 20 minutes a day, wicked.
Yeah.
That's so good. We've all exercises gone apart from like a walk, because we don't know how you fit it in. We can't work out when to put it in the day.
Oh, see?
Sorry.
She's so unprofessional. But is
it was a calling company.
Is it Tinder again?
Tinder, don't phone your house phone, Harry.
Is it? Is it a Tinder
program? It's from the 90s, isn't it? That's old school Tinder.
Is it?
That's amazing.
I don't know how to turn my house phone off. I did text. The only people that phone me on my house phone are my mum and my two sisters. And I text them before I started saying, "Don't phone my house phone, I'm recording." And then I get a cold caller calling me.
Oh.
At bloody 8 o'clock on a Friday night.
Well, I wonder what they're calling for, eh, Ames?
Because I had a car accident that I've never had. That
you've never been in, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Listen, on Amy's shopping list tonight, there was double cream.
I'm making a birthday cake, all right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Amy. Okay.
Whatever. So how are your days going then? You said you can't figure out where to fit in the exercise. What are you doing the rest of the time?
Crying. I think it's just, crying, just trying to just get any moment of peace and quiet. Yeah. No, because we're both trying to find work. So me and my wife, and my wife is still working a bit. So we're trying to juggle when she works, I'm on childcare. When I'm working, she's on childcare. Right. So we're just spending each and every day going, "Oh my God, we need to fit everything in to this day," and then somehow go take her for a walk. And I don't know, I'm just jealous of all these people. Like, lockdown, I've binge watched 12 Netflix series.
Oh,
and
God.
I've learned a new language, and I've done army training or whatever. And I'm like, I can barely make it through the day. I don't know what I've achieved any single day, but it seems to have disappeared.
But I think, maybe when you've got, because I've got a job and I've got a, you know, it's quite a heavy job at the minute, but I always feel like I'm quite thankful because it's structured. So in amongst that structure, I try to put in, you know, the kind of exercise stuff and the, you know, working with Idris, doing homeschooling, and trying to get him out on a bike. It is difficult, but it's kind of easier because I think the anxiety of not having a job and trying to find work, that's a lot. That's a lot of pressure on people in a household. Plus, a 2-year-old is very different in terms of their sort of, you know, needs than a 6-year-old. Like, I've shoved my son upstairs with a bag of salt and vinegar crisps, a couple of Oreos, and a squash, and he's got, I don't know, Sonic Mania up there, and he's happy as Larry. But a two-year-old, you can't do that with him. No. Constant attention. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think there's sort of two issues. That both me and my wife get kind of guilt if we leave the other one to deal with her for too long. We feel really guilty about it because we know what she's like. So we try not to sort of, unless we've got work on, it's like we're trying to both deal with her. But also it sounds like such a silly moan, really. But like part of my job is just coming up with stuff and writing, and you need headspace to do that.
Yeah.
And normally I'd have gone to a cafe or I'd have sat in a coffee shop or I'd gone for like a walk by myself. And with lockdown, it's like I haven't had any of that. Yeah. So you're having to go, right, I've maybe got an hour tomorrow between my wife's work in the morning. I've got a couple of hours there. And then we've got to deal with little one's bedtime. And it's like trying to force yourself to come up with stuff in that time is really hard.
Yeah.
And then hope you might get paid for it. So yeah, it's sort of, I think there are extra pressures that are coming.
Yeah.
It doesn't help that my daughter's absolutely bonkers. And
but then that's your material then, really, isn't it? I mean, yeah. All around your daughter.
I've got at least 20 new minutes out of her alone. And,
exactly.
And also we've been trying to potty train her because we thought, why not make our lives harder?
Oh my God!
Yeah. Well, because we're all stuck in and also because we couldn't buy nappies. They kept getting sold out in all the supermarkets first few weeks. So we're like, well, why don't we try and get her off nappies? But that's meant that there have been days where it's just been shit on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Potty training Lola, though, one of the worst 2 weeks of my life. She'll be sitting there and she'll go to the toilet every 2 minutes for an hour and then she'll shit on the chair. It's like for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
In the first week we did it, this is one of the worst things ever, but my daughter ran in saying, oh, I need a poo. And so I picked her up. And as I picked her up, either she shat as I picked her up or she'd already done it. And I trod in it with my bare foot. And I then started screaming, shit foot. And my wife was like, she couldn't breathe through laughing. And that's all my daughter talked about for like a week was her. Daddy stepped in poo. Yes, and that's like, it was so horrible.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Bless her. Idris, yeah. I can't remember. Yeah. Oh, that's it. Idris did it the other way around. So he was really good in the night. Like he'd get up and he'd go to the toilet like a really responsible child. But in the day, he'd fucking wet himself. I could never work that out. Why would you go to sleep and get up and go to the toilet, but in the day you'd wet yourself?
No, that's amazing.
Oh.
Too many distractions in the day. Yeah. It's like there's too much to do. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
That's amazing.
I know.
Oh, my God. So how are you still smiling?
Yeah.
I don't know. Normally at this time of night, I'm just like, yeah. Well, I've had some online gigs, but generally I'm sort of staring into space at this time, even trying to just drink whatever we've got left. So this is good. I think it's talking to you two has perked me up. So thank you.
Ah. So what's on the menu for tonight? What are we drinking tonight then? A bit of beer?
I've got a little bit of beer left. I did a beer order, and I'm trying to not order more after it's finished, but I'm losing the willpower.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
I think
got a bit of beer left, yeah.
The main thing you should worry about is just staying alive, I think, in your situation.
Yes.
Whatever else happens, just go with it.
That's it.
So me and
That's it, isn't it? It's surviving, yeah.
Me and Amy have just done a 9-day detox.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
No. How's it feel?
No caffeine. No alcohol, no sugar, and no life. We've done it, Amy. Today is our day off. I did actually at 5 o'clock. I did actually go and have a gin and tonic at 5. I did.
Was it nice?
Yeah, it was absolutely lovely. In fact, I guzzled it like it was a Sprite. It was that nice.
Do you feel a lot better for doing it? Or because I think if I did a detox, I'd have like the only thing in me is toxins, and that's the only thing that's keeping me going. And I think if I remove them, I'd be completely empty and have nothing left.
Yeah. I feel brilliant. I have to say, like, I feel like a new woman. It's really.
You look like a
really
new
cheap
woman.
Well, yeah. I don't know about tonight, but I look like Oil Slick Central. But that doesn't matter. Nobody can see me. Yeah, I do. I feel like I needed a bit of a break from alcohol. It was like ruining my life. Can't help it. Yeah.
Maybe I should do it.
She's been hitting it. I did. For me, to be honest, I only did it because Harry wanted to do it with someone. I really missed coffee. I really enjoy coffee. That's what it made me realise. Yeah. But part of me was all right, actually. It wasn't too bad.
No, it wasn't too bad.
What were you having in the mornings instead of coffee? What were you doing?
Crack cocaine.
I just didn't have anything.
Oh, it's that sort of detox. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We had this WhatsApp group and it was like, because I didn't eat something or I don't know, I couldn't remember. And then someone was like, how did you do that? And I was like, I just did a couple of grams of coke.
No.
But it keeps you going.
They believed everything she said.
Wow. Those days are long gone.
They are. They are.
Yeah, yeah.
The water drinker.
I can't handle anything anymore. Our main vice, we just have lots of hot sauce. We've always got lots of hot sauce in.
Oh.
We put hot sauce on things. And that seems to be my sort of joke about it, just to check I can still feel things. But it's we just keep getting increasingly hot sauce.
Oh, I love it. Love it. I love a bit of hot sauce. Do you know what sauce is really nice on? Scrambled eggs.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely down with that.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's well lush.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's amazing.
Is it right? Am I right in thinking you've done something with a science program, is it? Or a science thing online? Is that you? Did I see something?
I don't know. Maybe. Which one?
Is there something like a science program or a science online thing? I saw your name pop up on Facebook. I was like, oh, I'll have to have a look at that, because Idris loves science programs and he likes experiments, and you can see where this is going, like blowing things up in my kitchen. So I was actually trying to find some stuff that he could like look at or do some experiments, and we have been doing a few things, but it's really like trying to get things in. Or I mean, I've absolutely rinsed my Amazon account. I mean, I'm really embarrassed now that Amazon must knock at my door every bloody day. I've now decided to just cancel my subscription. I've done too much. But it's like an easy thing. But yeah, what are some of the things that your plan to do online that we can maybe tap into?
I haven't done any science. There's loads of good science things. I would recommend those. There's a thing called the Stay at Home Festival by Cosmic Shambles, and a comic called Robin Ince. And
they do a lot of their shows.
Yeah, he's wonderful. And a lot of their shows are for adults, but they've been doing kids ones where they've been getting like Commander Hadfield, the astronaut, to talk, and various scientists to talk and answer kids' questions. And Brian Cox has done a few and people like that. So that's really worth checking out. And there's also a guy called Greg Foote, and he's really worth watching because he's brilliant too. He does a lot of good science stuff. There's quite a few. But I've done pre-pandemic, I was touring a kids show about politics.
Okay.
Which was with a guy that runs a website called Simple Politics, and he's amazing, a guy called Tatton, and he goes into schools and breaks down politics to kids, right? He's brilliant. And he's the serious one. And I said, why don't I write a load of really stupid jokes? And we take it as a show together. And so we've put a recording of that up online for the minute, because we were touring it around the country.
Okay. Oh, well, so, we can send that out to everybody.
Definitely.
Amy's good at that sort of technical stuff. I'm just pants.
Oh, nice.
But I think that's really quite, that's kind of ahead of its time, because actually politics is what should be in schools at a very young age. Kids should know about, you know, politics. They should know about, you know, how the voting works. They should know about loads of things. And we're a little bit shy about politics with children, but it's a really good conversation. It is. Yeah. And I think it should start there, because you can make politics funny. You can. It's been proven time and time again. It's good for the home. It's good for the home to understand it.
The hard thing I found, not with Tatton, who I work with, he's really good at it, but my adult comedy is really partisan. Like, I absolutely have a go at quite a lot of people, but for the kids comedy, you've got to be like, just neutral. You have to be neutral for kids comedy, because I think also it helps get the message, gets what you're trying to do across better. And so I found that hard. I found that hard at times. Just not to scream into the audiences. But whatever you do, don't vote Tory. Yeah. But I couldn't do it.
So
we're very good. We're very good. We're very straight down the line. It's just this is just a breakdown of what it is. But yeah.
Well, I admire you for that.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what's interesting. So in when we were doing the live show, is it would always finish with a live election. We'd get the kids up to be representatives and we had different colour caps. And so they'd all, they wouldn't get to choose who they were for. But what we'd say is, here's all the party policies. So we'd go through what the parties are and what their policies are. And then they'd say, here's the policies and here's how you vote in a constituency. So we split the room up into three and each bit can only vote for one set of candidates and all this. And I'd say we only ever had one show where Conservatives won. Otherwise, it's nearly always Labour, Greens or Lib Dem. Kids always vote for them every time.
That should
and there was one show where Tories won.
That should be in every school. Seriously, that is a brilliant example of where it starts, and it's really simple, and it's interactive, isn't it? Like they get to do something that, you know, they get to hear about all the policies and then decide for themselves where they put themselves. That's really, I think that's definitely, like, when this is all over, we'll get you to come to our school.
Oh, yeah, please do. Yeah, we'd love to. We did quite a few school shows. And again, I think the problem for a lot of schools is sort of affording it, which is a shame. But but it's really good fun doing school shows. I mean, you get a properly different, because, like, when you do a room where parents with their kids, I don't know, it's sort of more tame, you know, because parents break it up. When you get a room of, when you just get one school of kids and there are teachers off at the side, but there's like this block of children screaming at you. It's quite, I always have to go and sit in like a quiet room for an hour afterwards. Just...
Oh my God. You should write to the GLA or something, a project around it. I think that's brilliant. I think that's one of the most
really good.
Innovative ways of getting messages out to young children. And that can go as young as five, six.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. We're finding kids, well, some 6-year-olds are really getting it, but mostly 7+ definitely. Before 7, most of them were just finding the silly jokes very funny and sort of learning a little bit. So it's tricky. I mean, I tell you, to be honest, the hardest thing will be, we had to rewrite the show every couple of weeks because of Brexit anyway.
Oh,
when
God.
We come out of this, we're going to need a whole new hour just to cover everything.
Yeah, you might as well just wait a little bit and see what happens.
I think that's it.
We might be back in lockdown by August. I really hope not. But, oh, God, it's looking likely, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, God, I really hope not. Yeah, I'm worried about that too.
Oh, bless you.
Fingers crossed.
So where were you born and brought up then? Because that accent isn't London accent.
That's what you said to me. I'm a Finsbury Park boy. I really am. I'm from Finsbury Park. And I'm born and bred Finsbury Park and went to school in that area. I've always been North London. And then I went to uni in Kent, in Canterbury, for 4 years.
Oh, same as my brother. He went to Canterbury.
Oh, right.
He did politics. Not that he knew anything about politics. I'm not even joking.
Do you know anything about politics now? Or did it teach him anything?
Yeah, he probably knows a little bit more. But I remember when we went down and I went with him. And I think they asked who was the president of somewhere. And he turned to me and he went, "Google it, Harry, Google it." I was like, "Are you fucking joking me?" Anyway, he went into his interview and I said, "You're just going to have to charm her, Rory. You're just going to have to charm her because, like, you're not going to get in on your brain, are you?" Anyway, apparently he said to her, "Oh, haven't you got nice hair?" And all the rest of it. He got in.
But that's politics, isn't it? Right there. Yeah. That's all most MPs do.
Absolutely.
No substance. It's all the chat. Yeah.
I don't know where your accent. I honestly thought you were like from Devon or Bristol or Bath.
I've had that before though. That's interesting. Yeah. But I used to have a really North London accent. It definitely got kicked out of me, I think.
Is your daughter in bed now?
Yeah. Well, luckily, by doing the show with you, I haven't had to do bedtime tonight. So you've saved me. Yeah, I've absolutely been saved, and I'm really happy about it. And it's good, but it's bad in a way. Because I was always gigging in the evenings. She wouldn't ever go down at night for me anyway, because she wasn't used to me doing it.
Yeah.
So I've just started getting back. She's finally sort of used to be putting her to sleep now. But but I've got out of it tonight, so it's a win.
So how were you gigging pretty much every night then?
not every night, but you'd have like big runs of gigs. And so,
right, okay.
Like, say if I was doing like support, that would suddenly be like three or four nights a week.
Yeah.
Every week for a couple of months or whatever. You know, you get these kind of blocks of doing it. And then you get some gigs that are like abroad and you'd have to go away and do stuff elsewhere. And it's, you know, I was trying to cut that down, but it's still a lot of traveling. You can't really obviously turn down earning a living.
Yeah.
So it's tricky. It's also what makes it exciting and interesting. I've genuinely sort of missed travelling now that we've been stuck indoors. Like, even sort of missed, what a weird thing to say, but missed just being on the motorway and, heading to new places and chatting to people.
Yeah, so. But that's because that's the excitement of knowing that you're going to be doing something that you love. I mean, and standing on stage and, entertaining people in a very different way. I think making people laugh is one of the greatest gifts, really, because it's real, it's genuine, and it's hard when you don't make people laugh. But it's you do that as a living. That's a bloody cool job.
Yeah,
you've
that
got.
Is definitely.
It's I do enjoy it, but I'm not good at anything else, so that's after it. But yeah, no, I love it. I absolutely love it. So I hope we can do it again soon. Hopefully.
Fingers crossed. It won't. Has everything been rescheduled? All your plans for this year?
Not at all. Some people, and like some acts I know, had like tours and they rescheduled it for the autumn, and then they've had to reschedule that again, so I think everything's just on hold. Like, the Edinburgh Fringe Festival isn't happening this year. That's all.
Is that like the first time it's ever been cancelled
in like 50 years, I think? Was this year
crazy?
Is this year the 50th? No, it can't be the 50th. I don't know, it's like a big anniversary year this year, and they've had to completely shut it down. So
Oh, that's sad, isn't
it?
Really,
that
really is.
Well, this whole thing is sad.
It is. But especially to the creative industries, because not only do you not have any money and no access to it, it'll be the last industry in terms of, you know, being standing on stage with an audience in a traditional manner. It won't happen until all that social distancing, the guidelines that they've put in place, will kind of be eased up. And that's quite sad to think about. There's this massive kind of, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you can think of some really cool ways of trying to get yourself out there.
Yeah, 100%.
And we'll definitely post all your links and videos and definitely get the word out there. Amy's brilliant at that. I'm shit at that.
But I was just going to say, like, no one's going to want stand-up comedy to go. You know, there's going to be a way for
us to carry on
because the world can't exist without people making us laugh. So.
Yeah, and I mean, online gigs have been amazing. You know, the thing I have to say is that online gigs, while they aren't the same, like I said, you reach people. The first gig I did was for Robin Innes' festival that I mentioned before, and it was myself and Mark Watson and Josie Long and a few other people doing it. It was a lovely lineup, and I think it got like 2,000 people watching. And it's so rare that you do a show to that many people in real life. There's only so many venues like the Apollo or whatever like that that will fit that many people in.
Yeah.
And I was sitting at home in my pyjamas. Because I didn't think that many people would tune in. You know, and the Stand in Glasgow, which is like Scotland's best club, their first online show had something like 76,000 people watching or something.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so, in a way, it's like you're suddenly reaching more people.
Yeah.
It just, selfishly for us, it doesn't feel the same because we can't hear the laughs or we can't engage. So, you know, but it's good. Yeah,
be a bonus, mightn't it? It might even turn out better because of this.
That's it.
Stay positive.
Because then people come and see you. Stay positive. And let's see your little girl. I cannot wait to see that little sassy thing.
What's she called?
Aurora.
Aurora. Oh, nice name.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that lovely?
Do you know, when we named her it, we didn't know it was the name of the princess in Sleeping Beauty. And that was ironic because she didn't sleep for about 2 years. And everyone kept going, oh, like in Sleeping Beauty. And we're like, no, it's not fucking like Sleeping Beauty.
Not my child. Not my Aurora.
Nope.
Oh,
bless her.
Well, thank you so much. It's been lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. It's been a real pleasure to be on this. Thank you.
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, happy Father's Day.
I hope you got a lion.
And lots more beer.
Yes.
We hope.
Fingers crossed.
And no standing in poo.
No. Absolutely. That would be the highlight.
So has it worked out? Is she, or are you still going through it?
She's mainly now mainly using the loo or the potty now. So yeah, it's good.
Oh, well done.
occasional accidents, but yeah, it's much better.
Oh
yeah,
congratulations.
And our downstairs neighbour keeps hearing big announcements about every time she's gone to the loo. So when we briefly saw her across the road as she was leaving the flat as we were coming back in, we stood a distance and just she said, "Oh, she's done a couple of poos today. Well done." And so...
Oh, bless her. Yeah, sounds thanks nice. Very
community.
Much.
Yeah,
definitely. Community feel. But yeah, it's been brilliant talking to you and finding that about
Thank
you.
You.
Really enjoyed it.
Thanks, Tess, for having me. Lovely to meet you both.
Take care.
Cheers.
Bye.
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 Yo. So he's a funny fella, isn't he?
He's a funny
Tiernan. I would think of Thierry Henry for some reason.
Gee, but that's Thierry.
I know it's not the same Tiernan. He's North London boy, though, isn't he?
He is. I don't know where I thought. Why did I think he was?
He does
from?
Sound. I'd Google. He sounds a bit country.
He does.
And he
say,
does. I get that. I wouldn't have said that he was a born and bred Londoner.
North London.
No.
Definitely not. Definitely not. But he sounds like he's got. He sounds like he's had quite a stressful couple of months.
Oh God, yeah.
But he's dealing with it really well. His little girl is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
When you go on the Instagram and you see all her pictures. She is a sassy little thing. She's going to be definitely a diva. She's got his probably big personality.
Oh, can you imagine?
Yeah.
2-year-old. And I can't believe they're potty training. I mean, it does make sense because obviously they're there, so they may as well be doing it. But that was such a stressful time.
Oh, my God.
So to add that stress, on top of everything else.
Yeah, no garden, just an apartment.
Yeah.
I mean, with a 2-year-old, your wife... I mean, you know.
And shit everywhere.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah. But good luck.
Yeah.
And good luck to everyone that's doing it with a small child and no outdoor space.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough.
It is tough.
So well done. But we can get out a bit more now, can't we?
We can. And there's lots of parks that are open, lots of walks that are open.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's a good thing to focus on. We stopped at one stage during the sort of hour outside going for a run or a walk or a cycle. We stopped it for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Just got a bit lazy, but we've picked it back up again. So I've noticed that Idris is, he just gets a bit bored.
Yeah.
If you don't have that something in between.
Yeah, just breaks up the day a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. We just get on his bike and go for a little ride.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, we haven't been actually doing our daily exercise. As much as, because we were doing it regularly, but
yeah.
We've kind of, well, other stuff comes up when the weather changed, didn't it? It did start raining.
No. And thunderstorms.
Yeah, so I was two in. Last night I ironed, because that's how exciting my life is. Exciting.
Iron?
Yeah, I ironed my bedding.
Did you iron?
I ironed my bedding. I know it doesn't really look like it, because I have
really
slept
doesn't.
In it. We're laying on my bed at the moment. But yeah, I do iron my bedding. And I know that's
do you iron
sad.
Your pants?
No. I don't iron the kids' bedding, I only iron my bedding.
Do you iron vests?
No. I don't iron everything. I do iron most things, but I don't iron it. But I've got a steamer.
Oh.
Yeah, so I steam most stuff, but I was ironing because I have to iron my bedding. I can't steam my bedding.
I'm really sorry that everybody has to listen to this.
But I was walking while I was ironing to get my steps up yesterday.
That's such a strange
Isn't that fish. Sad?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. But I do, yeah. Well, yeah. But I used to walk to school every day, there and back. And obviously, we're not doing that at the moment.
That was many
and
it, years ago.
Yeah, maybe. That feels like a lifetime ago, doesn't it?
I know. And then we had an email, didn't we, asking us if our children would like to go back?
Yes. Yeah.
But I think we're gonna. I think we need shot. We need shooting for this.
Yeah.
Thing, but we're gonna keep them for a little bit longer and see what happens.
I'm not gonna send Juno back.
No.
It's not worth it.
No.
I don't think for 4 weeks or whatever.
No,
plus, they keep each other company. It will just make my life harder.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
Definitely. Well, enjoy this latest.
Yeah, enjoy. And we're going to post all of the links to all of Tiernan's stuff, his podcasts, his video, comedy video stuff. They've got a book out. He's got so much going on.
Yeah.
And he's really lovely. So, check him out.
And he's just a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. So big up.
Yeah, so check it out.
Big up, Tiernan.
Check out Mum and Mama Pod on all the socials for the infos.
And enjoy Father's Day.
Yeah, and have a good Father's Day.
Yeah, enjoy.
Fathers and single mothers.
Yeah. Oh, don't say that. Don't say that.
Do you know what? I do text my mate because she's heard the father is not involved at all. So every Father's Day, I always make a point of texting her to say happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
All right, lots of love.
Bye. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.